go to the Lord in prayer. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us, Lord, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit. Lord, that thy will truly would be done in our lives, that your kingdom would manifest itself right here, right now, Father. Lord, we pray for wisdom as we open your words. Pray for ears to hear, Father. Lord, we just thank you again for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I extend greetings to all of you. Precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom, that His kingdom might be manifest on this earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. God's message, Christ's message to man was the kingdom of earth. The kingdom of God is now. Press into it. A lot of times I love to read about those who have gone on before. We sang about them just now, about some of the martyrs, the church that has pressed on into the kingdom of heaven. The church that was persecuted. Those people who were martyred for the cause of Christ, that lost everything, wound up in prisons, were tortured, tormented, burned, nailed on crosses like Christ was, to be faithful to their Lord. They were turned out, cast out by society. They were rejected, despised. It's a blessing to read about those people, how faithful and loyal they were to Christ. We love their courage and their zeal. And we would almost like to be with them. Sometimes we long for the time whenever there was persecution, because the church could shine and be glorious. But that's not the time we live in right now. Right here. Bible says to be content with what God has given us. Job was wealthiest man in the East. And he lost everything that he had. And he praised the Lord anyway. He said the Lord gave and the Lord took away. He went through different trials. One of them was losing everything that he had. And the other was prosperity. And God took away everything that he had. And he still came through faithful. And then he allowed the persecution to come. And he was still faithful. A man or a woman that serves the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be tried in varying circumstances. And it's our responsibility to be faithful in whatsoever state you find yourself in. There's a lot of talk. I'm going to speak about what the young people. I was gone last week, and I didn't even know that they gave all my verses out almost for what I was going to preach about this morning. Whenever. I want us to hear those verses. You know, we get used to the Bible sometimes. We get, oh, that's just a Bible verse, and we don't hear it. But I want us to listen this morning to what God has to say about what these verses that these children spoke about. I want us to listen to them. You know, whenever I was growing up, I grew up in an evangelical church. Now, I was taught, just be saved. and then go to church and be a good person and just kind of clean up your life. And I knew there was more to being a Christian than that. I didn't know what it was. I could read some things that I knew I wasn't doing, but I didn't know what it was. And I just got so discouraged and so disgusted that I just gave up on Christianity completely and began seeking after the wealth of this world and what it had to offer. Wanting a comfortable life. Trying to make my life comfortable. And whenever I turned back to start, my thoughts turned back to God by His grace and by His mercy. He began calling me, showing me that I was lost, and showing me that I was in trouble, and that there was a judgment day coming. And no matter how much money I could pile up, I was still going to die. And not one penny of it was going to go with me. No matter how much fun I could have or how much excitement I could be involved in the world, one day I was going to die and I was going to stand before God. God was faithful and He called me that way, just like He does every one of us. And He called me and I began to turn to the Bible. I turned to the New Testament. And I thought, I want to find out who Jesus really is. I'd never heard who Jesus was, and I went to church all of my life. I went to church Sunday mornings. I went to church in revivals, and all I ever heard that Jesus came to save me. That's all I ever heard. That He came to save me from hell. I heard about hell, but it was because Jesus came to save me from it. I heard about bad things and not doing wrong, so it would save me from hell. But I didn't know who Jesus was. And I began opening this book. And I turned to places like Matthew chapter 5. I determined that I was just going to read the New Testament and see who Jesus is. What is this about? Now, I was a wealthy man whenever I was 25 years old. And I thought whenever I would read the Bible, it'd just tell about how He died and how He rose again and how He was a Trinity and how I shouldn't drink and how I shouldn't dance and how I should go to church and how I should pay tithes. And a lot of other religious things that I'd heard all of my life. But whenever I opened this book, and I began to study what Jesus taught, came to verses like Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, chapter verse 3, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I was taught, like we heard about this morning, that whenever you were following the Lord, good things would happen to you. That God would prosper you and make you wealthy. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Things like that that just didn't quite fit. And I read on, and I got to places like Matthew chapter 6, where it said, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. What did that mean? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've heard a lot of people explain this, and they said, give your money to the church and you're just putting it in a bank account in heaven. Give your money to help people and you're just taking that money instead of putting it up for you. You're just putting it up there in heaven. And you just put everything you have. I was counseled when I asked questions about my wealth and whether I could follow the Lord. And I was counseled to give my money to good causes. And that money would then be turned around and put right in my bank account in heaven. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Give it away. And you're not really giving it away. You're just laying it up in heaven. Well, that's pretty good if you're rich. But what if you're a poor man? That works pretty good in a lot of circles that are full of money and full of covetousness. And oh, we'll help our covetousness by just giving it away. And then that way, we'll be laying it up in heaven. Works pretty good for them. But what about the poor people who don't have any money? Looks like they're going to be poor in heaven. And just like they was on this world, according to that idea. But that's not the idea that Jesus talked about. Jesus saw the people putting their money in the treasury. The rich man put in their big donations, hoping that they're putting up money in heaven. And a poor widow didn't have nothing. Had two pieces of copper that made about a penny and dropped it in. Two mites. Dropped it in. And Jesus said, she's put in more than all of you. She wasn't laying up her treasures because she was just transferring her money from here to there into a heavenly bank account. You know, the heart of that message is still covetousness. It is still loving money. Because you're just being really self-preserving. Okay. I mean, if you knew that this country was going to collapse, there's a lot of people do that now. They've got big bank accounts over in Switzerland, or they've got big bank accounts in some poor country somewhere. So that when this falls, they've laid their treasure up right over there. Still got it. They're hanging on to it. And that's the problem. Where your treasure is, there is where your heart is. And that doesn't mean I'm laying my money up into heaven. What that means is your money is still where your heart is. Whether it's in heaven or whether it's in a Swiss bank account or whether it's in your pocket or in your little box hidden in your room somewhere. That's where your heart is. For where your treasure, there will your heart be also. It's covetousness. I began to read things like this, and they began to explain it to me like that. And I thought, that don't fit. It was what I wanted to hear, because yeah, that's good. My flesh just was all over that. My covetous heart. My desire to preserve myself was all over that. It loved that. But whenever I read what Jesus said, it didn't fit. Verse 22, the light of the body is eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. When our eye is single on Christ,
our whole body is full of light. But if it's distracted, it's full of darkness. You know, one thing that's a comfort to me. That's a comfort to me. That I can know that when my eye is single, I'm walking in the light. I may not always make the best decision when things come up, but I'm going to walk in the light. I may make plenty of mistakes, but I'm going to walk in the light. I may not do everything just right, but when I'm walking in the light and my eye is single, my whole body is full of light. Even with its shortcomings and with its failures, God is not demanding the perfection of your performance. God is not demanding the perfection of your performance. All He wants is a single eye towards Him. That's all. To be faithful is to be loyal to, devoted to. Faith, my faith is in the Christ of God. And I'm going to be loyal to Him, even with my shortcomings. Sometimes I look at us and... sorry about this, but one time I was in Alabama in a prison. And we were preaching to people. And this leader of the Satan worshipers, you'll appreciate it when you get done. The leader of the Satan worshipers, we began talking to him. And he started listening. And he came over and he said, "I'm through with all of that. I'm laying down being a leader of this. It's going to be dangerous, but I'm done with it." And he said, "I just sit around and look at all these people with, and I said, I'm the leader of this. These people are a bunch of nuts. They have all their problems. They're just, and I'm their leader." Sometimes I see some of our problems, some of our troubles, and I think, boy, I almost feel like that man. I see myself, but one thing I do see is a single eye. I'm going to be devoted no matter how big a mess I am. I'm going to be faithful to Christ. And I trust that's why you're here. To be faithful to Christ. I'm going to be loyal to Him with my problems. When I fall down, I'm going to get right back up. I'm going to be loyal to Him because that is what He's looking for. These people, there's a lot of people that have real good performance. But when light comes to them, they close their eyes. Most people in denominations, whenever they choose just to follow their religion or their church above light, how great is that darkness? They may appear to be performing well. They may have all the outward appearance. They may have all the outward things right down to a T. But if they're walking in darkness, they're in darkness. Black darkness. Unable to see through darkness. When light comes, they have to stand up and walk in that light. They have to bear their cross, deny themselves, and follow Christ. They have to be faithful to Him instead of their church denomination. The reason we have church is because it's people made up. The church is made up of people who are walking in the light, and we have fellowship one with another. If we're trying to create something other than that, we've missed it. And we'll wind up walking in darkness. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and things. Heard a story about a man who bought a swing set for his child, for his children. And when he got the box the swing set was in, it had instructions about a chapter long, or two chapters, or two books of a big one. And it told him that he was going to have to spend something like 30 hours putting this swing set together. And then, after he put the swing set together, once a week, he was to spend 30 minutes to an hour going around tightening all the little bolts to make sure they didn't work themselves loose. Indefinitely. And he thought about that for a minute, and he said, "I've just become a slave to a swing set." And he has. The more stuff that you acquire, the more things that you have, the more you have to serve them to keep them from rusting, from tearing up, and from being stolen. The more things that you have, the more distracted you are to the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus was warning us about. The battle that you and I face is not a battle of a torch, or a stake, or a cross, or a dungeon. That's not what we have to fight today. Our battle is against prosperity. Our battle is against all the blessings that this world, we call them blessings, all the things that are we have, all the things that are available to us. This is the time God has put us in this earth. And we have to be faithful to Him. Just like someone being tempted to deny the Lord whenever they're facing a cross, or they're facing a dungeon, or they're facing being tortured or punished. We have the danger of riches. Are we going to be faithful? When I began reading these things, I didn't understand all of that. I just knew that I wanted what this world had to offer. And I was given all kinds of explanations. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Mark chapter 10, it says, "There was a man, and he came running, and he kneeled at the feet of Jesus and said, What must I do to be saved?" And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." How different a message that Jesus had than what the modern day gospel message is. You know, if a rich young man came running today up to the front of the altar in most churches, how many of them would tell him, you need to obey the commandments that God has given us? You need to listen to what Jesus says. You need to obey Jesus. That's not what they'd be told. They'd say, oh, here, just admit you're a sinner. Just confess that you've sinned and failed God, and you just believe that Jesus died. You just believe that the blood that was shed just so that you could be saved. You just believe that Christ is the Lord and you'll be saved. You'll be born again. And then He'll start to change you. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus is the one we follow. Christ is who we follow. It's not the modern idea of modern theologies of how to be saved. Christ gives us the example here. This man said, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What do I lack yet? Why don't I have it? Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Sell everything you have, give it away, not so that you can lay up treasures in heaven with what you've given away. Sell those things that you have, give them away, so that they won't be a hindrance to you entering the kingdom of God. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and shalt come and follow me. Our treasure in heaven is our devotion to Christ. Our treasure in heaven is our faithfulness to Christ. Come and follow me. What we are in heaven is going to be determined by what we are here. And it's not going to be because we got a big billfold or a pocket full of money in heaven. The streets are made of gold. Why would I want to lug around a billfold? It's not about money. It's about who you are. Your goodness, your integrity, your faithfulness, your loyalty is your wealth. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Those are your treasures. Your loyalty to Christ is where your treasure's at. You be those things. You be a man of God on this world, in this world. You be a woman in this world of God. And those things are what will transfer. Your heart, your treasure, your heart is where your treasure is. Thou will be perfect. Boy, I struggled with this one, and whenever I was trying to read it, trying to figure it out. Why was Jesus requiring this man to sell everything he had, and he was just going to save me? And I wrestled with that. And I finally come to the conclusion that God didn't want my money. He wanted my heart. He didn't want my money. He wanted my life and everything that it possessed. He wanted all of me. There's a verse in James that said, if you keep all the commandments, yet you offend in one point, you're guilty of all of them. Why are you guilty of all of them? Because there's one area in your life that you're still determining that you love more than God. There's one thing in your life that you just will not let go of. And that is your idol. And you're guilty of everything. Because the everything is loyalty to God. Loyalty to Christ. Your eye is either single or it's full of darkness. There's one thing that you won't surrender. One thing you won't give up. You're full of darkness. And there is no light in you. You cannot serve two masters. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I just thought, he went away sorrowful. He was lost. Lost. He was honest enough to turn and walk away. Churches are full of people who don't have that honesty. There's more hope for this man than there is most of Christianity. Because they're going to pretend that they can have both. They're going to pretend that they'll be saved and still keep their heart right where it's at. They try to just add Christ to their life. But this man had to make a decision. All or nothing. And he was more honorable than anybody who's trying to be a hypocrite or a pretender. This man was honorable because he made a clear-cut decision and went away sorrowful, knowing the decision that he had made. Then said Jesus to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. I knew a lot of rich people in church that claimed to be Christians. And I've met a lot of them. Since then, this should put fear in our hearts. A rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And why do we seek after riches? A rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Is it worth the risk? That your idea might, or your thoughts of yourself might, cancel out what Jesus says? Your comfort? And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 6. Verse 20. And he lift up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, when men shall hate you, and they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. You have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. You know, those are kind of quaint little sayings. Kind of nice maybe to hang on a wall somewhere or something. Except for it was Jesus Christ who said them. Do we believe Jesus? Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. People that are faithful and loyal and hardworking and honest will prosper. It's just like the law of gravity. And God expects men to work, be diligent, be honest, be faithful. And you'll prosper. But be careful. Because in that prosperity, there's a big snare. Don't get content. We're full. Oh, that doesn't mean me. Yes, it does. We're happy in this life. We got everything we need. That doesn't mean me. Yes, it does. Woe unto you that are rich. Well, that doesn't mean me. Yes, it does. Jesus gave us remedies for that prosperity. Love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. there's a danger of prosperity. Having all we need and all we want. We need to look at that like it was a torch. And we were strapped to a stake. We need to look at that like it was a dungeon with shackles hanging up on the wall. I've noticed in my life that shrewdness is a real good cloak, or what do they call it? Not shrewdness, it's frugalness. Being frugal, frugality. Being frugal is a perfect cloak for covetousness. It hides under there so nicely. Pinching pennies, saving everything. It's just money. It's just money. People trying to scrounge and appear like they're living really poor when they got all the resources in the world. That's just phony. It's just a cover for covetousness. That's all it is. They may appear real frugal and real simple living. They've probably got a big bank account or a big something hiding behind it, just raking it up. The covets aren't those who just waste money. I mean, we see that. We think people just out there really living it up, living extravagant lives. We think that is covetousness. But covetousness is just saving those pennies and piling them up. Watching them turn into dollars and into hundreds and into thousands. That's where covetousness is. Not spending it, but hanging on to it, piling it up. Jesus said, lay not up for yourself treasures on this earth. And He told the story of a rich man. He had a big crop, so he tore down his barns and built others. Then he said, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for I have much goods laid up. Heard one man say, that's an early retirement. You know, the world looks at someone that's made it and retired as a wise man. He's smart. Now he's retired early. He's piled it up, and now he can just take his ease. Play with all his little toys. Do whatever he wants to. The Bible says that God said that he's a fool. He's a fool. You looking for an early retirement? You're a fool. According to God. You looking to make your life all easy and comfortable? So you can just take it easy and kick back? You're a fool. God said, this night thy soul will be required of you. I may get to where I can't do anything. I may get to where I ramble and nobody will want to listen. But there's no place for retirement in the kingdom of God. Man is born to work. Man is born to serve. And our retirement is when God says it's time to retire. Not when we just want to kick back, take it easy. I've watched all of my life men who worked as farmers or worked in jobs all their life until they turned 65. They saved and all their lives just to the time that they could retire. Then some of them bought motor homes. Some of them did all kinds of different things. Travel around for 4 or 5 years until they get so old they can't do that. and their children stick them in a nursing home and somebody wipes spit off their chin and spoon feeds them. They spend their whole life waiting until they retire so they can take it easy for 3 or 4 years, maybe 10. And then wind up, the children take all the money, declare them crazy and stick them in a nursing home somewhere. Children fight over the money and the lawyers wind up getting half of it. Children never speak to each other again. That's what money does. It's the root of all evil. And then they die. And God says, "You fool." James chapter 5. "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." You rich men, weep and howl for the miseries that are going to come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them have reaped into the have entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. The rich man in Luke chapter 16 says, whenever he lift up his eyes in hell, being tormented, Abraham said, "Remember, you had all those good things in this earth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, or been lustful, been wanting more. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." You ever seen a pig or a calf that they pin up right before they fatten it? They pour the feed out to them. They just gobble it up. They just eat everything they can, thinking they've got it made. Till somebody comes out with a gun one day, or a big sharp knife, and cuts their throat, slaughters them. Woe unto the rich. It's not a blessing. It's a curse. It'll damn your soul to hell. Keep your eyes single. And Lord, that is blessings. Father, thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us take heed to your words, Father. Help us to hear what Jesus has to say to us today. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. One day I had to decide, my life or Christ? That's what it was about. And I find that I still have to decide that. My life or Christ. You don't have anything?
Said, be careful or you might end up becoming a Christian. And
We'll meet this evening at Kevin's, 6 o'clock. Lord bless you.
Thank you. Jesus.